Well, good afternoon, and thanks for coming by the Senate Republican response to the budget. You know, as I sat up there, I couldn't help but make a couple notes, and I'm usually not a note taker, but clearly liberalism is alive and well in the Wolf administration. I mean, a massive tax and spend budget built upon a pile of rubble left from the last huge tax and spend proposal this governor put in place. I mean, these are taxes on working families. These are taxes on the elderly. These are taxes on single moms. These are taxes on college students. The whole way down, there isn't a tax that he fails to hit. And to use this fear as a motive to raise taxes. I mean, I'm disappointed, and I resent that only tax increases can avert a crisis. Only tax increases can avert teacher layoffs. Only tax increases are going to save the elderly. And only tax increases are going to stop property tax increases. And only tax increases are going to stop our credit downgrade. You know, there isn't a single mention from this governor in his budget address to talk about the fundamental reasons of why spending is out of control in state government. And so, you know, as I look at the proposals, no accountability, certainly not anything to stop widening the gap between those who have and those who have not. This widens the gap. So, you know, I'm just terribly disappointed. I'm disappointed in the attack against our fellow Republican House members. You know, we can disagree, but disagree respectfully. And that's how we have been through this process. But to write some fictional novel outlining how the framework came undone is just totally inappropriate in a budget address. So, you know, with that, I am just tired of this governor pitting taxpayers against educators. We're for both. We're for taxpayers. We're for educators. We're for more education. But by damn, you have to strike a balance around here, and he's missing the balance. So I'd like to turn it over to the Majority Leader, Jay Cornyn.
This was my 18th budget address that I had the opportunity and the honor to sit through. This was without question the most absurd, politically motivated remarks that I've seen from a governor in the well of the House. I mean, that's a day for the state of Pennsylvania to come together, to put out a plan that we can all hopefully work towards to move Pennsylvania forward. This proposal and that speech has no intention of getting anything accomplished other than to divide us further. The proposal builds significantly upon a proposal that couldn't get support in the past. $3 billion worth of more spending, $3 billion worth of more taxes. I mean, he pines away for an agreement that we almost got to in the fall, or in December, but he doesn't tell why that agreement fell apart. Because public pension reform was a big part of that agreement, it failed. Property tax relief was a big part of that agreement, it failed. So, you know, he's as responsible for that as anybody else is. And from my understanding, in the House yesterday, there was the opportunity to put that budget up for a vote, and the House Democrats didn't offer it. So they've apparently retreated from it. So it's time to, you know, quit pining away for something in the past. Understand that that agreement is dead, and let's move forward and put a budget together. And giving a speech as he did today was, again, the most politically motivated speech that drives things apart, not brings people together. So I don't know where he thinks we go from here. I don't know how he thinks that gets him votes in either caucus. My guess is today we are further away than we were of June of last year. And my guess, that's what the governor wants. He wants a fight. He wants to take this to the campaign. I mean, you've seen from, you know, his friends, they're now, used to be in his administration, now work for these organizations who are sending out mailers. You know, Governor Rendell, who was, you know, as political animal as anybody, former chair of the Democratic National Committee, never would have given a speech like that. Never would have been as partisan and as politically motivated as this governor is. For a guy who says he's from the outside, everything they do is politically motivated. Not to get policy done. Not to get the initiatives done that he claims he wants to get done. It was an outrageous speech today. I was amazed sitting there with my, probably the camera's on me, it's on my jaw, on my lap. I thought we were about trying to get things done. You know, if you look at the budget that he calls very responsible that we sent him, it's $500 million less in spending than what he asked for. That's 1.5% of the budget. 1.5%. So how is that irresponsible in his, this wonderful pie in the sky, savior of the Commonwealth? 1.5% difference in spending. It was an unbelievable experience. Fortunately, I think, again, we've are further apart than we ever were. And I think that's exactly where the governor wants us. So with that, let me turn it to the Appropriations Chairman, Pat Brown.
Thank you. I was going to take an opportunity to congratulate the governor for making his second presentation. That was what I was going to say. But after that presentation, that's really hard to do. Looking forward to starting hearings next week, and hopefully those hearings will start a productive conversation on where we go from now. We'll get into details during that period of time, but there's one primary point that needs to be made, and it's pretty much a point that needs to be reinforced from last year, and that is we are all concerned about the imbalance in revenue expenditures in this Commonwealth. The Senate Republicans are concerned about that. But you can't promote fiscal balance when you're spending at an unsustainable level. When you're proposing 7% increase last year, when you're proposing a 10% increase this year, when revenue's going up by 2.9%. It's not only the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans that believe that, the nation believes that. If you look across the entire country, the average rate of growth in spending is 4.1%. States are looking for fiscal stability after 7 years of turmoil. For some reason, Governor Wolf believes we need to go on a different path. There's only one state in the country that's increasing its spending or proposing to increase its spending by more than 10%. The overall rate of growth of revenue in terms of actions by 49 states is $500 million. This path that we're going on is not sustainable. It's something that's not reflective of where the rest of the country goes. This caucus is serious about fiscal stability. It's serious about balancing our books, but we need to do that with fiscal restraint. And we look forward to working with the governor to make sure that happens. Thank you.
Questions anyone might have?
The Wolf administration claims that if you had agreed to the framework, none of these tax increases that he proposed for 2016-17 would have been necessary, other than the new severance tax. Because if we would have approved them last year or for the current year, rolling them forward for a full year, there would have been close to $2.5 billion in new revenue this year in addition to the $900 million for it.
Well, again, let's go back. First of all, his proposal today is billions of dollars more spending than anything was agreed to in December. Billions and billions. Agreements, when they come together, aren't buffets. You know, you don't say, okay, we have an agreement, we're going to support this, but we're not going to support this, we're going to support this, but we're not going to support that. It doesn't work that way. Either all in or you're all out. He couldn't deliver. He's the leader of his party. He couldn't deliver on pension reform. He couldn't deliver on property tax reform. So, you know, that's why it fell apart. Again, it's not a buffet. You're all in, you're all out. His leadership couldn't get that agreement done. Okay, it's over. Let's move on and see if we can find another agreement. And to pontificate the way he did today and to cast aspersions on members of the General Assembly, I don't see how that makes you friends to get things done. And to spend, you know, and have his friends spend multi-millions of dollars on campaigns against members of the House isn't going to get votes either. So do you want to get votes? Apparently he does not. And, you know, his offer today and his performance today shows that he's not interested in getting a budget done.
But were those taxes that he proposed today part of the agreement?
No. I mean, the spending and taxes are far higher than anything that we approached agreeing to. We never got to a final agreement on anything. These are far higher, completely out of the stratosphere of what was being discussed before.
Just fighting words aside today, are you out of the box rejecting an increase in either the sales or the personal income tax for either this current year or the next?
As always, our goal is to not raise any taxes. And that is our goal, and that's what we will do if we go through the budgetary process to see where we can streamline state government, where we can make state government work better. We're never convinced that taxes are necessary. Obviously, this governor is. And so our Appropriations Committee will turn this budget upside down and see. We owe that to the taxpayers. Before we say to the taxpayers, you got to give us one more cent. We owe them the responsibility to make sure that everything in state government is either necessary or working at the most efficient level. So we are going to go through that process so we do not accept that it has to happen. We will negotiate, we will work with the governor to get to a final product that addresses our structural deficit, which is, we all agree is there, but we are going to do it the best way we possibly can, and hopefully avoid all new increases in revenue.
So you do agree on the size of the budget deficit? You agree with that roughly $2 billion figure, you just don't agree on how you close it?
No, we'll have to work on that. The revenue numbers the governor's projecting are different than what we project. We'll have to come to an agreement on what the actual hole is based on fixed costs. That's not something that's settled.
And remember, you know, a structural deficit is based on what you want to spend, not what you have to spend. You know, his base numbers on what he wants to spend. So, you know, we will look, again, our appropriation committee, the entire staff will work through this and see where we can make savings and maybe eliminate some things that aren't necessary. But we'll go through a process like we always do, and our goal is to not raise any revenue. People in Pennsylvania pay enough taxes. You know, that's part of the equation at the end. You know, we'll wait and see. But our goal is to avoid it wherever possible. Anything else? Yeah. I can't agree.
The proposed minimum wage increase.
Well, I don't know that he made a proposal today. I mean, he sort of skipped over it. You know, again, there's a lot of other things we could be doing other than a budget. You know, there's a lot of initiatives I'm sure he has policy-wise. There's initiatives we have policy-wise. But because we're so entrenched in this process now for 13 months, we can't get to a lot of those other things. And again, what he did today has now put us further apart, and I'm sure it'll be months more before we can get to anything else.
Just to follow up on Chris's question, setting aside the whole tax package you proposed today, is it correct, as the administration has told us, that the 3.4 PIT and the sales tax base expansions and the cigarette tax increase were part of the
framework? That's completely incorrect. We had never had one negotiation, four caucus negotiations and the governor on a revenue package. So, you know, those might be ideas that were floating around, but we were never in agreement on any revenue package in December.
Senator, given the tone of the governor's speech today, where and how do all the parties get together and start talking?
It's a great question.
Do you have an answer?
Well, you know, again, we're looking for leadership from the governor, and he provided very little today. And so whether he can provide leadership to bring people back together, you know, I'm not so sure there's too many members of the House that want to sit down with the governor anytime soon. And again, I think that's exactly what he wants.
If we agree on a deficit, whether it's 1A, 2, somewhere in there, then you want to address it. How do you address it? Where do you cut?
Well, again, that's part of the appropriations process that we will go through. And, you know, again, our goal is to not have to raise any revenue. Whether we can achieve that goal remains to be seen. But that's always the first goal for the Republican caucus, because we think the Pennsylvanians pay enough taxes. So, you know, we will go through that process with Pat in his committee and see where we go. You know, again, things were made a lot harder today. Real quick, Mark, we gotta go.
Did you say anything about the pension legislation that your caucus decided? Is that a precursor to any consideration of the tax cuts?
Look, public pension reform is a must. I think everyone agrees that something has to happen, whether it's what we agreed to in December or something else. We're going to continue to be our number one priority legislatively. You know, it's the biggest driver of cost in the budget. If we didn't, we wouldn't even be talking taxes if we would have had a pension reform. If we'd had a pension bill in place in 2002 that we're talking about today, we wouldn't be even talking about these kind of taxes. So that will always be on the table. You know, the Senate Bill 1 for a reason, and that will always be on the table as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.